Welcome everyone to The Gathering, Bringing God into Everyday Life and the Kathleen Maxwell Ramby podcast. Tonight's lesson is going to be a little bit different because I'm having to record at my home instead of in front of a live audience due to COVID-19, but I'm super excited about the lesson. I deviated a little bit and changed what I was going to speak about this evening for another topic that I think is pretty prevalent. It's called Living in Uncertainty Without Fear. And before I jump into the lesson, I would just like to pray. Father, I thank you so much that you're a God that's with us, and you're with us during every situation that we face. We never face a situation without you being right beside us. And Lord, I just pray with so much going on in our world right now, and so much uncertainty, that your grace would settle over each home listening, that your peace, your calm, and your love would just flow over each one listening and their households. And Father, I ask that you just open our eyes, that you use me to just speak words that will bring life and life abundantly to each listener. And I ask all this in your precious name. Amen. Well, there is a whole lot that's changed since our last podcast. And certainly there are a lot of uncertain things in our world right now with COVID-19. You know, there's fear of illness right now, loss of income. People are afraid for their families. I mean, my goodness, there's a fear of no toilet paper. I haven't been able to get any the last two times I've had to go to the store. And the big one, there's a fear of the future because the future is unknown. And this just isn't here in America. This is all over the world. And so I want to ask you, have you ever found yourself in a situation and you simply didn't know what to do? Or are you in a place like that right now? I mean, there's so much that's changed. We're having to make decisions quick, and the decision we made yesterday may not apply to today, just because of the news and the way things have shifted. Many people are working from home, and many people are not working. And so oftentimes in life, we can find ourselves, I know I certainly have, in a situation where, okay, what do I do? And I've always hated to say, I don't know. But I've learned to say, I don't know yet. Because when we seek God and we look to Him, He's always faithful and He'll show us what we need to do next. As I've thought about the unknown, and I've heard even the news and a lot of people use the word uncertainty, I had to just flash back to times in my life when life was so uncertain. And one of the things that I remembered learning back in those days, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, is that all of us live in uncertainty every day. Most of us just don't realize it. You see, I didn't really realize that as a girl that had grown up in a small town, middle-class America, until I hit some crisis in my life. And then it really hit me that life was very uncertain. You see, none of us have guarantees. At any time, the company you could work for goes under, your child could be in a wreck, your teenager tells you she's expecting, your mate suddenly dies of a heart attack or cancer, and the list goes on. I'm sure some of you listening have your own things that have gone on in your life, and all of a sudden, life is uncertain. And here's what I've discovered. Our certainty and our security must be rooted in the future of a God who loves us and in the nature of God. You see, He is faithful when life is uncertain. And I'm going to say that again. God is faithful even when life is uncertain. You see, faithfulness is a part of His character. It's a part of His nature. And it's actually how He describes Himself. And at the end of the day, He's the only one that we can really, really rely on in life. You know, I had several things that have happened. For those of you that have never listened to one of my podcasts, I've had my share of adversity, dealing with illness of those that I love. 30 years ago, my marriage to my late husband was in shambles, problems at work, problems with family, and the list goes on. But here's what I do know, that God is faithful, and He's been always faithful to walk me through those valleys. And one of the things that I want to just talk about is there are so many things that are uncertain in our lives. And plagues are really nothing new. If you read the Bible, you'll find out plagues were throughout the Bible. And people, even thousands of years ago, learned to depend on God. We have so much at our fingertips now, and medicine has come so far. We are in such a good place compared to what people years and years ago in the Bible went through. And the one thing that I know I've discovered is that God's faithfulness is always there. See, Psalms 36, verse 5 says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the skies." The sky is a long way up there, I can tell you. I'm looking out, and it's a we had a sunny day here, and the sky is so big and so vast. And that's what God is describing. That's what is being described, is God's faithfulness reaches up to the sky. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, if you're following in your Bible, I'm going to read this passage. It says, "God is faithful, who called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So God over and over tells us about His faithfulness, and I'm only going to be able to highlight a few scriptures about His faithfulness, but there's much that the Word has to say on this. Deuteronomy 7:9, I love this passage. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping His covenant love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments." Right there is a declaration back in the Old Testament about how God is faithful and keeps His love throughout the ages. Psalms 40 and verse 11 is another great one. And it says, Do not withhold your mercy from me. Lord, may your love and faithfulness always protect me." See, in times of uncertainty, we can trust in God's faithfulness to protect us as we walk along. And, you know, what I've discovered in just the adversity I've been through in my life of watching my mom struggle with a debilitating illness for 9 years and slowly slip away, and losing a husband to cancer, is that things didn't always turn out exactly the way I wanted or had prayed, but I do know that God is faithful. See, when you experience His faithfulness, it's that experience that makes you rich and give you confidence. And my husband and I were sitting outside the other evening, and we were just discussing the day and things that had gone on. And I made the comment, as we were just talking about all the fear and just situations both of us had seen and experienced that day and the panic that was around us, I made the comment to Stephen. I said, "I know that COVID-19 is a big threat, but when I've watched tumors grow on someone I love, and I've watched my mom slowly slip away for 9 years, and I've experienced God's faithfulness and redemption, this disease and plague doesn't scare me, or this virus, it's not a disease. It doesn't scare me because I've seen God's faithfulness through some really, really tough times in my life. And part of my testimony is how for years I was really gripped by a lot of fears. And I had a huge fear of germs. It was just part of the way I was raised. And one of the things I know is that fear torments, and it's like punishment in our lives. And there's so much of that that's rampant right now. And God's heart for us as His kids is to be free of fear and to enjoy life and live secure in His love and His faithfulness. And I think one of the things that is important too right now is it's imperative that we treat fear as a robber and a thief instead of a house guest. And I used to be the queen of excuses about my fears. And I had a lot of them in my life. You can check out my podcast. It's called Freedom from Fear. And I'm just going to touch and highlight a few things on this. But I think it is very important. You see, I grew up and I thought my fears were a normal part of life until God began to gently challenge me and show me more of His love for me. And then I realized that fear was not from God. And now, when I'm fearful or timid or hesitant, I ask God for a greater revelation of His love for me. You see, there was so much uncertainty that surrounded my mom's illness. She contracted a rare disease that settled in her brain. And for 2 years, we didn't know that. We didn't know where the disease was or what it was. It took us that long to figure it out. And there was a lot of uncertainty in those days, a lot of uncertainty that I had to walk through because the answers were not there from the doctors. And finally, they came around. But even when the answers came around, the news was hard. And there was an awful lot of uncertainty when my late husband, contracted a very rare cancer that only 2 in a million get. Now, when I heard the statistic of 2 in a million, I quickly realized that my certainty and my trust and my hope could not be in the doctors. I quickly realized, going to an appointment after appointment, how they were in uncharted waters. And there was certainly a lot of uncertainty that I dealt with, being widowed at 49, and my world turned just upside down. But one of the biggest fears I think that we are facing right now is just a fear of the unknown. And a fear of the unknown keeps us stuck. It paralyzes us. It keeps us from living a life of faith. And like I said, I just can't say it enough. The only one we can really rely on in life is a God that loves us, and He promises to be with us. No matter what, no matter how, what we have to walk through, what we face, we serve a God that will walk with us and loves us. And that is one of the huge blessings that I learned and began learning when my mom got so sick, was that God was with me. I had such a fear of losing her. I had such a fear because she was such a mighty prayer warrior and woman of God. And yet I learned in such a powerful way that God was always with me. And He became my source of security and has been ever since those days when she got sick, beginning, I think it was around 2003. But walking through that valley with God, it's given me an unshakable confidence. Because here's something I learned in those dark days. And you may want to write this down. That we will never face a situation without the presence and care of God. I'm going to say that again. We will never face a situation without the presence and care of God. We serve a loving God, a trusting God who is walking with us. And there's power and peace that comes when we take His hand and partner with Him in times of uncertainty and crisis. I want to give you a scripture in Isaiah 41, verse 9 and 10. It says, "For you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then one of my favorite passages, I probably use it in every podcast, but it became so vivid and so real walking down the halls of the hospitals in the days with Joe, my late husband, and my mom. And it's Psalm 73:23. It says, "Nevertheless, I will be with you. I hold you by the right hand." See, the Bible has a lot of answers for how we're to navigate through times of uncertainty. And one of my favorite stories is the story of King Jehoshaphat and how he was outnumbered by a vast army coming against his people. And life looked very uncertain, and it didn't really look good for him. 2 Chronicles 20, and I'm just going to hit verses 6, 9, and 12. And it says, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven?" I mean, Jehoshaphat's in kind of dismay. He says, he's declaring to himself, "You rule all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you." See, he recognized that God was his source and his strength. And then in verse 9, it says, Jehoshaphat says, "If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us." He had total confidence in God. Verse 12 says, "For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." I love that. There was a vast army coming against him. And he was sitting there, I'm sure, kind of saying, "We don't know what to do, but we do know you, and we're looking to you, and our eyes are on you, God. We're listening to you." And I think that that's such a good admonition for all of us right now with the pandemic that's going on around the world. We know not what to do, but our eyes are on you. We must see God bigger than what comes against us or what is uncertain and threatening us. Really, all of life is uncertain and we have no guarantees but God. We've got to see God bigger. We've got to see Him stronger. We've got to see Him with us. We've got to see Him magnified over everything else. See, you're going to magnify something in a time of crisis, and I speak from experience. You can either magnify your problem, magnify your bad news, magnify what is threatening you, or you can magnify a God that loves you and is with you and will be with you and walk with you through this time. You know, the end of the story of Jehoshaphat is he defeated his enemies, and it took the people 3 days to collect all the blessings, and rest and peace came upon his nation. And that's what I'm praying and believing for all of us with this coronavirus. My prayer for each of you in this pandemic is that you will partner with God, and you will come out stronger and better, physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially than before we walked into 2020. That's what I'm praying for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren, for my husband, for my in-laws, for all of those that surround us, is that this will be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. And it might look bleak. The army looks vast right now, but we serve a big, big God. I want to read, and I mentioned this last week at the gathering, but Isaiah 28:16. This is a scripture I recently found, and I absolutely love it. It's a now word, a today word. It says, Isaiah 28:16, "So this is what the Sovereign Lord says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic.'" I love that. Will never. When we rely on God, and in that passage, Isaiah, there, he's prophesying about Jesus, a tested cornerstone, a precious cornerstone, something sure we can stand on. And when we stand on that foundation of the Lord and we rely on it, then we're not stricken with panic. And you can feel the panic in the air right now. There's just such a spirit of fear that is attacking people, and I really don't like it. Now, I'm going to be quick to say, is the virus bad? Absolutely. Is it a threat? Yes. Do we need to be careful? Of course we do. We need to social distance. We need to use antibacterial wipes. We need to wash our hands. We need to stay at home whenever we can. But we've got to see God as bigger and faithful and with us. And when we do that, then our heart won't panic. You see, it's a partnership with Him. The longer I walk with God, the more I realize that He just wants me to partner with Him in whatever is going on in the day, in the moment. Sometimes partnering with Him is speaking a word to someone in the grocery store, or maybe calling a widow. You know, I see the more that I my heart is set on partnering with God, He provides those divine appointments, whether I'm at the gym or whether I'm walking the streets, exercising, or, you know, I'm just being sensitive to His Holy Spirit. When we rely on Jesus, a sure foundation, we won't live in that fear and panic. So my question to you is, who are you relying on? Who are you relying on? And are you in a state of panic? We are living in uncertain days, for sure, in 2020. And we have a choice. Each one of us has a choice of how we're going to walk it out. We can walk it out in panic and fear, or we can walk as people of God. We can walk in peace and walk confidently with our God, and we can overcome the uncertainty. So I'm going to give you some steps for those of you that are taking notes. And by the way, any of you that request a copy of the notes, I'm happy to send them to you with all these scriptures and questions for processing. You can email me and I'll get that information later. Steps for walking in uncertainty without fear. So number one, you've got to realize that fear is not your friend. Realize that fear is not your friend. And as I said previously, I had a huge fear of germs, and I thought that was normal. It wasn't until my mid-30s that God began to set me free of that. I was raised in the days before hand sanitizer came around, and you know, Lysol was everywhere in our house. And my mom, for those of you that remember back in those days, came in a brown bottle, smelled horrible. And she would use it on the house all the time. She would use it on us. She would wipe down things if we went to a restaurant or wherever we went. And I just thought that was normal. And I grew up with a huge fear of germs and illness, even though I really was a pretty well child. There was just a fear attached to that. And I remember my late husband and I had gone to a meeting, and we had a newborn baby. And I went to take our baby back to the nursery because we weren't supposed to have children in this meeting we were attending. And when I went back there, I found out that there was a baby in the nursery that was from a foreign country. And I was scared to death. I just thought, I can't leave my baby in here. Now, there are kids that are raised all over the world, but I had such a fear of germs. I didn't want to leave my child back there. And I made a comment to a woman when I walked back in with my baby, a woman that was standing there kind of making sure children weren't there. And she said, you know, we're not supposed to have children in here. And I said, well, there's, you know, a baby from a foreign country, and I'm just concerned about germs for my child. And the woman looked at me and she said, well, I'm going to pray for you that you be set free of those, of that fear. And I kind of looked at her because I didn't quite know what to say. But as the story unfolded, slowly I began to see, and God began to set me free of the fear of germs. And when this virus came out, I said to somebody, when panic was just starting to hit our nation, I said, I know this is a bad virus, but I can't go back. I won't go back because I've tasted freedom. And once you taste a freedom from fear, once you begin to walk in it, and the rest of my testimony is just one by one, God began to set me free of different fears. Once you've tasted that freedom of that, you don't want to go back. So back to number one, and realizing fear isn't our friend, we have to treat it. We have to treat it as something that we can't treat it like a house guest. We can't treat it as a friend. We can't treat fear. Well, we can treat fear as a friend and partner with it, but it's going to lead to panic, and that's not good for us. I had to go out and get some things at the grocery store, and I saw a friend of mine, and she wasn't that far away, but I just called out her name. And when I called out her name in the grocery store, there was such a panic of people in the grocery store, she jumped about 4 feet high. And it just showed me the panic that was just in her heart. We can't treat fear as a friend. We have to treat it as a robber and a thief. And if we're not careful, it can certainly sneak up on us. Before the world went absolutely crazy, I went on a trip, and it was right when things were starting to get, they weren't really bad, but things were ramping up, and I had prayed about the trip. I was going to go see my grandchildren that I hadn't seen in over 9 months, and as I prayed about the trip, I felt a peace. I felt like, you know, God said it was okay to go. But when I arrived at the airport and I went through customs, I went through the checkpoints. I wasn't going out of the country. But as I walked through the gate and looked around at the airport, all of a sudden this wave of panic and fear hit me. And anxiety. I guess it was more of anxiety. And I thought, what is this? And I just said, walking by myself, you know, Lord, what is this? What is this? What am I feeling? I prayed and I felt your peace about coming on this trip. And then it dawned on me. That was the anxiety and panic and fear that I had dealt with years ago. And it snuck up on me. And as I was walking in the airport, I just began to declare peace. Now, I'm not talking out loud, or I'm talking in a whisper, but as I walked, I just began, you know, to say things like, God, thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're for me. Thank you that you're on my side. Thank you that you're a God of peace. And God, I just declare your peace and your calm right now over the people in this city, over our nation. You see, I've discovered that I have a God-given right to walk in peace in any situation. And as I continued to pray, I just declared His peace. And in about 10 minutes, all of that went away. And my heart was totally at peace. See, I had to walk it out. I had to walk out my peace. I had to take it back, because just the panic and the fear that was on so many of the people around me, you know, I felt it come against me. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. And the next thing in realizing fear isn't our friend is that fear is not from God. And this scripture shows us very clearly. God hadn't given you that spirit of fear. What He's given you is power and love and a sound mind. And if you read the scripture, that was a King James Version. If you read it in the NIV translation says, for the Spirit of God, the Spirit God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. See, the Holy Spirit gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And there are times we have to still our heart. We have to say, no, you're not going to go play with friend. We're not going to go play with fear. It's not your friend. I mean, we have to walk in our authority, because God does not make us timid. And that's how that spirit of fear is translated. It's being timid. And timid means to show a lack of courage or confidence, to be easily frightened. We have to tell fear to go. And, you know, this is a simple prayer, but it was one I used when God began to set me free. And I was practicing and I was walking in more freedom from fear. I would just have to out loud say, fear and anxiety go, you're not my friend. And it was something I taught my children then, you know, was fear and anxiety, you're not my friend. And to use that. Now, my kids have a God-given choice. They can choose to walk this out or not. You teach your kids, but just like any of us, and God teaches us things, but we have to walk it out and partner with Him. So if you want to hear more about freedom from fear, check out my podcast, Freedom from Fear. Number two for steps to walking in uncertainty without fear is ask God for a fresh revelation of His love for you. I want you to turn right now in your Bibles to 1 John 4:18. And 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. See, when we understand, and I'm not just talking about head knowledge, but understanding our heart and truly choose to believe that God loves us, it drives out fear. It gives us something certain to hang on to. God loves you dearly. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I'm going to say it again. He loves you. And for much of my life, I could easily say and feel like, you know, God loved other people, but I wasn't really convinced of how much He loved me. And see, love and trust go hand in hand. When we understand God's love, then we can trust that love. And I want to read to you Romans 8 and verse 31 through 36. And it says, what then? Shall we say in response to all these things? You know, what are we going to say in response to the panic and the virus and everything that's going on? And scripture goes on, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? So many people right now are worried about things. The groceries, they're fighting over stuff. They're, it's crazy. God's going to give us the things we need and provide because that's who He is. Okay, verse 33 in Romans 8 says, "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Do you know that Jesus is interceding for you right now? Whatever your need is, Jesus is interceding for you. He's praying for you. He wants you to partner with Him. And then it says, and I love this passage, this is just the core of it. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? As it is written, for your sakes we face death all day long. We are considered as a sheep to slaughter." You know, the COVID virus can make us feel like we're a sheep being put out to slaughter. You know, it's a time of uncertainty. But it goes on in verse 37. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation," that means germs, "will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Man, that is such a power-packed passage. And I encourage you to go back to Romans 8 and 31 and read it over and over like three times and let it just soak into your spirit. I know God's going to speak things to you. We're more than conquerors. He loves us dearly. He's going to give us all things. It says, if God's for us, who can be against us? That can give us a confidence when we choose to believe it and walk it out. Wow. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Ask God to give you a fresh revelation of His love for you. Lord, I'm going to do that right now for you. God, I just ask that for each one listening, Lord, that You would just give them a fresh revelation of Your love for them, that Your love would just wash over them, Your great love, that their love just for who they are, just like they are. Lord, I ask for a fresh awareness of how much You want to partner with Him. Because Your love protects us. Amen. Okay, moving right along. In Psalms 40, verse 11, David says in the Bible, Do not withhold Your mercy from me, O Lord. May Your love and faithfulness always protect me." See, love and faithfulness protect us. He wants to be your protector in this. And I'm not saying you're not going to have any challenges, but you've got somebody with you as you face them. Number three, put your hope in God, not the world, not the news, not the doctors, but put it in God because it gives you confidence. Put your hope in God. Psalm 31 and verse 24 says, "Be strong and take hope. Take heart, all who hope in the Lord." And 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Oh my goodness, as people that belong to the Lord, we have such a fabulous opportunity to spread hope to all of those around us. We have just a wonderful opportunity because hope serves as an anchor. Hope anchors us and keeps us grounded in times of trouble and gives us something solid to stand on and something solid to hang on to. I've also got a podcast called The Anchor of Hope that you might want to check out. Number four, we need to trust God. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Trust in the Lord. You got to trust in the Lord, not the news, not the president, not the CDC. They can't heal you. They can give you directives and advice, but at the end of the day, God is the only one that you can trust. And, you know, it says, in all your ways in this passage, submit to Him. We need to wash our hands. We need to social distance, use our bacterial wipes, stay at home. But we don't need to fear and panic. And we've got to make God bigger. That's what the fear of the Lord in this passage means. We've got to make the fear of the Lord bigger than what is coming against us. And it's going to bring life to our body. I think some of the panic is more detrimental and the anxiety is more detrimental than the virus itself. It's just evident as you look around today. And as I wrap things up, I want to close with Psalm 91. What a fabulous passage. And I want to encourage you to go back and read all these passages. Psalm 91 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will take rest in the shadow of the Almighty." That means taking God's hand. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." We need to declare our trust in God. It goes on in Psalm 91:3 to say, "Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence." Do you know that word pestilence means fatal, epidemic, disease? That's what that means if you look it up. It says, "He will cover you with His feathers." It's like God just wraps His wings, like a mama bird wraps her wings around her babies and protects them. God wraps His, it says, "He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness," there's that word again, "will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence," there's that word again, "that strikes in the darkness, nor the plague that destroy at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you." We need to run to God. We need to run to Him like never before. Goes on to say in verse 10, "No harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you and guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Wow, what a great scripture. Psalm 91. I firmly believe that God will walk with each one of us through this time of uncertainty. We have no guarantee we won't get the virus. or that we won't go through financial difficulty or the loss of a loved one, but I do know we have a God that loves us and is with us every step of the way in our uncertainty if we take His hand. Let's pray. Father God, I come to You and I thank You for this time, Lord, to be with people all over the globe. I thank You for each one that's tuning in and listening. And I thank You for Your word that's so rich and so powerful and so strong. And Lord, just even the confidence I personally gained even in looking up all these scriptures and being reminded of Your faithfulness, of Your love, and that You don't want us to walk in fear and doubt and unbelief. But You call us to walk with You, holding Your hand in this time of uncertainty. I pray peace over every household, that peace would govern, peace and calm with our schedules uprooted and things different. Lord, Your peace and calm as family members are spending more time together. And Lord, Your peace and calm over every doctor and every medical professional, and Your wisdom and protection over them, Lord, as they tend to those of us most in need. Bless their families. Bless them. And Father, I just pray Your protection, and I just declare that each and every one of us will walk in Your peace, that we will come through this better, stronger, knowing You more, and that You will redeem each and everything that looks like a setback right now, that it will be a stepping stone in our lives, in our family lives. Lord, touch and heal those that may be struggling with the virus right now. Lord, touch them. Let them feel Your presence. And I thank You for Your great love. Give each one listening a greater revelation of Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening. And another couple of quick notes. You can contact me at KathleenMaxwell1@gmail.com. And if you want to listen to more of the podcast that are available, you can go to KathleenMaxwellRamby.podbean.com. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and tune in next time for another episode of The Gathering.
Hello, this is Kathleen Maxwell Ramby with The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the lesson. And remember, don't just listen, partner with God and practice it. If you love this podcast, consider becoming a patron. Your donations help keep them coming and are greatly appreciated. To give, simply click the red button that says Become a Patron or Patronage. Your one-time gift or your monthly gift of $1, $5, $10, or $25, or whatever you desire, will be greatly appreciated. I want to give a shout out to our monthly donors that help support this podcast this month: Mary Mitchelstein, Colin Melissa Johnson, Michelle Schilling, Deanna Caraway, and those who have also given gifts: Laura Jane Elder, Lori Milton, Lisa Davis, Fran Hulse, Linda Force, and Joanne English. We now have listeners from over 9 countries across the world. My heart is to share my life experiences and stories of how God wants to be a part of our everyday lives through my real life experience with Him, and to share His word. I want people's hearts to be encouraged, healed, set free, and strengthened. I have chosen not to charge for podcasts, as I know some cannot afford it, and yet I trust God to speak to those that can. Also, if you enjoyed today's message, click the like button or leave a comment. I love hearing from my listeners. Thanks again for joining us, and if you'd like to contact me, you can email me at KathleenMaxwell1@gmail.com and check us out on Facebook at The Gathering Kerrville. Have a great day.